Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I am joined for the intro by producer Joel.
Hello.
There he is.
Here I am.
I can see him and his face.
There it is.
Smiling.
My big smiley face.
Lovely day today. Nice weather.
Lovely day.
Lovely day.
Have you been out enjoying it?
No.
Me neither.
No. Just been preparing for this, Joel, all morning.
Well, you probably woke up 9 minutes ago.
Yeah. So I've got new cables, Joel. This is a good start.
That's good. Well done.
Better sound.
Sounding great.
Ordered.
Well done.
Yep. Amazon Prime. Good stuff. So, Joel, what's been happening this week? Anything exciting?
Not really. I went for a swim and I ate out to help out.
Oh, okay. What did you eat out?
Your mum. No, I went to...
Oh, Joel! Everybody knew that was just in the air. You didn't have to go through with the... And my mum.
It was too easy.
My brother listens to this.
Does he?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, that's just not... That's not...
He'll be calling me dad soon enough. I went to a nice Greek restaurant.
Did you? Where was that?
Greece.
Did you have gyros?
No. More sort of hummus. Heard of it?
More sort of hummus. Is that all you had?
Lots of hummus. I had a big bowl of hummus at half price.
Did you?
What have you been up to,
Is
Mark?
That what, I don't, no, no. I, actually, let's talk about this for a second. I don't know anything much about this eat out thing. Don't.
What?
Don't. But what? How does that work?
You get
I haven't
50% off up to £10 per person. So you spend £20, you get it for a tenner.
Hang on, 50% off up to so you can't get any more off than a tenner. Is that right? Is that what you mean? Up to a tenner?
Well, you can get 20 quid's worth of food for a tenner.
Yeah, but nothing more than that.
No.
And is that where's that count? Is that everywhere?
All over the place. It's like it is pretty much everywhere. Yeah.
How do you know? Is there a website?
There's a website.
What do you do? I haven't looked into this. I don't know anything.
So go to Google and...
.com.
Google.com and look up Eat Out to Help Out.
Okay.
Ignore the first few links. And there's a government link. And you can put in your postcode and see where you can go.
All right. You're boring everyone now, Joel. They know what to do. Just Google it. That's all you have to say. Google it.
What have you been up to, Mark?
My girlfriend's going to Greece for a month. She's going back home to Greece. That's a link, isn't it? Little link.
Wow.
Yeah. So I've been 4 months quarantined with her. And now I'm going to be on my own, Joel.
Well, I'll come over. I'll keep you company.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I want you in my bubble.
Oh, that's a shame. Who else is in your bubble? There's no one in your bubble.
It's just me. Yeah. yeah, so that's interesting. Well, I guess we'll see how that's going next week when we do the podcast.
And you've completely lost your mind.
I did my first car park comedy gig since we last spoke, Joel.
How did it go?
Good.
Awesome.
It was good. It was really good to be back on stage. And it's weird.
Yeah, I bet.
It's just 300 cars. I mean, there's people in them.
Yeah.
But like you're just doing jokes into thin air, and then they beep their horn to indicate laughing at you. And that actually has reminded me of the joke. I'll tell you a joke, Joel, that I wrote when I was there that I won't be able to do ever. And the reason for that is for the joke. So the joke is set after doing one of these gigs. So you can't do it at the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I've got any more coming in.
Good.
Because I think they're done. They're booked. They're booked up. And I don't think people are going to get the reference, because unless you've been to one of these, you probably won't really understand what you're talking about. So do you want to hear it?
Of course.
I'll hear it. You'll hear it. Really enjoyed the car park comedy gig. Hard to judge exactly how it was going, but one car flashing lights a lot, I think, was a good indicator.
Nice.
But I think to make that joke work from now on, there's too much information that you've got to give them about, because that's not even enough.
Yeah.
You've got to tell them that it's just two cars all lined up.
Can you repurpose that joke for like a driving test or something?
No, because the point of seeing them do something to tell you whether it's going well or not.
Yeah, could you be a driving instructor or something? I don't know.
That's a good indicator. No, you'd have to say that, you'd have to be having your driving test done.
Mm.
But the flashing lights, no, I don't think it would work, Joel.
All right.
Nice idea, though. You know, thanks for trying to help.
That's what I'm here for.
Wow. Yeah, and editing. So that was fun. Yeah, bit of fun. Back gigging. Got a few more outdoor gigs lined up. Not a million, but because we were excited in the comedy community because indoor gigs were coming back, and then they've stopped it again. Ah. So who knows, Joel? Who knows?
Who knows? Not me.
Not you. So what's happening this week, Joel?
That's not my job.
No, I don't know. I was just trying to... Your energy seems low. What's up?
No, my energy's all right.
You keep looking up. Who are you looking at? What, your girlfriend?
What I'm waiting for is the adrenaline kick I get from you shouting today.
Oh, okay. Hang on. Today!
Whoa, there we go.
Who is it, Joel?
It's like one of those things to the heart. It is comedian Ori Styler.
It's Ori Styler!
Yeah.
Yes! Here he is. So let's go to stuff that, have you got some bits that, like you've liked over the years and you've never quite managed to nail?
Yeah, so there's a couple. One thing I know I don't really discuss on stage, I don't really talk about sex. It's just not my thing.
Like, in
I
general,
always picture my mum being in the crowd.
Okay.
All right. Come on, BA. We know that it is my thing, but to talk about it on stage, like, I don't know. There's something about, I always had this idea. I think it was a comedian called, it's Sinbad. And he said that he used to go on stage and not want to tell jokes that his parents or grandparents wouldn't be able to enjoy.
Yeah.
And something about that struck an accord with me. And I felt like talking about sex on stage, it just, like, to lean into it, to reference it or to make a little joke about it, yeah, but to lean into it like some comics do, never did.
No.
But then there was one time I said, I'm going to try this. It was a show that I got booked for, and the theme was the show, we wanted material that was very much X-rated around that topic.
Okay, yeah.
So I tried to write a joke, and it worked on that stage, but when I tried to expand on it afterwards, it didn't. It was basically about, positions that I know that I'm not a fan of. I tried to make myself sound like a prude by going into details of positions that I know I'm not a fan of. And it was the regular positions like your missionaries or your foot upon shoulders. And I said, the reason why I don't like that is because where she may have her feet on your shoulders, I don't really like feet, because I picture hers could be as hard, as rough as mine. And it's no good that when things are shaking, her feet are sanding down my shoulders. Next thing you know, I've got Vin Diesel looking shoulders because she's chiseled away the top layer of my skin and some of my musculature. It was trying to lean into that.
Yeah.
And I did it once at the show where I feel like they just wanted to hear crass material.
And it worked at that gig, did it?
it worked because I kind of, you know, when you don't spend too long on a joke, you go into it, hit the punch, come out because you don't want to, expose that this isn't completely finished or polished.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just an in and out
literally
joke, almost like it's a reference. Yeah. Just got what you said. Yeah, an in and out joke. Yeah. So basically, it was like that. And I thought afterwards, I would try it again because maybe there's something in here that I could be able to reference this kind of material in ways that I didn't think I could. After a while, I tried it one more show after that. Didn't really hit. I think I tried it another time after that. Again, it was like a, ha, that's funny. And I left it at that. I just said, nah, I'm not gonna try this.
So why do you reckon that is? Because there's all sorts of things that could be. It could be you thinking about what you said earlier about not wanting to do that sort of material. So maybe you don't really sell it like you would other stuff. Or do you think it's so different to everything else you're talking about? It's like, why is he telling us this?
I think there are some comedians that you're not gonna see like a Frankie Boyle and want him to talk about positivity and upliftment, because by nature he is, let me dig right into this person and draw them out and make them feel really bad, because that's what they want from me. They want me to cuss the hell out of them because that's what they expect. I think for me, I don't think it's in my character to deliver that kind of material, because if I tend to be a comedian with a message. And if you tend to hear me with a message talking about, you know, why, like a joke I recently put up was the difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day, and I want it to be equal.
Okay.
Like there's a message in that about how Mother's Day is treated, how Father's Day is treated, some inequalities, and then highlighting the humor behind that. I think going towards sex for me, or talking about it, just doesn't come across natural because people hear me and go, but yeah, you're the guy that was talking about like uplifting stuff, and you're the guy that was talking about, you know, like, you know, I don't know, looking at humorous sides of messages, talking about sex. There might be something in there if you want to go with it, but when you want to go into to really descriptive details, which some people can be cringy at, it doesn't come across comfortably from me. Whereas there are other comics who, because they're so good at just referencing that, it's almost like, even people that cringe go, I'm cringing, but it came out of your mouth and that's just who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas it's just not naturally who I am to just go on stage and talk about that. I reckon.
Yeah, what's the message? Get a pedicure. It's like,
exactly. And it takes away from the gravity of it being a joke around having sex.
Yeah, so you just stay clear of that topic, unless, I mean, one day you might stumble on a message that you want to get across through that. But
I have stumbled. I mean, I've used sex as references to other messages. Like, there's a joke I've got. I did it on my Straight Up tour. It was talking about the premise is about, if you're dating, I want to date someone who, it doesn't matter if they're tall, short, big or small, that they're happy with who they are. It's not about you trying to pretend to be something you're not, or think that your body isn't great because beauty comes in different sizes. So that is the message.
Yeah, nice.
But then the reference I made, you see what I mean?
Yeah, it's positive behind that. It. Yeah.
The reference I made is when I've dated somebody who wanted to pretend that they were something that they were not, because they would either wear like padded bras or padded underwear that makes their body look more curvy and sexy. And then when it comes to the action of me getting down with them, they take it off. And then they're built like an iPad. Do you see what I'm saying? Because they're so slim, but they wanted more curves. Or a girl who was a bigger girl, and I thought she had a really curvy shape because she was wearing like a waist trainer that accentuated her top half and her bottom half, but it brought in her stomach. I was like, there's no need for that. Your body's great as it is. I, again, don't know. I take off the waist trainer. At least you think she's built like a Coca-Cola bottle shape, right? Yeah, nice and curvy. Take the waist trainer off, not realizing she's built like a 2-liter bottle. Do you see what I mean? It's jokes around that nature where it's me leaning into stuff which might be a bit touchy for some, but it's just humor. But then I go into the topic of getting down and getting physical, but the joke isn't about getting physical. It's about the tricks that may have been played on you pretending to not, like you pretending to be something that you're not.
Yeah.
So I do lean into it at times, but not make it the punchline.
Yeah. And it's relatable as well. Cause I mean,
yeah.
Like on Tinder, people make themselves look so different to what they actually are in their face. I just never understood how that's gonna, unless it is literally people just want to feel good on the app and they have no intention of
I think it's the world makes them believe that they don't. I mean, when you have the Kardashians being like the family of reality that people see, even the fact we call it reality, where a lot of them are silicone or acting up on stage, we look at them and go, well, that's the benchmark of attractiveness. Well, not, I wouldn't even say them, but they are one of the benchmarks of attractiveness. We look at these men and women who look a particular way. And then you get women that feel like that's because they're famous and because they have so many people that love them, that's what they need to strive to look like or become for men to love them. So they then do the tricks that those women do, edit their pictures. They take pictures from certain angles that make that accentuate certain ways they look, even down to the extreme. There is a massive culture of people that go to Turkey to get body modifications regularly. It's not even a taboo anymore.
Really?
But there are people that, what? Yeah. There is a, like Turkey, there are, so I know somebody who went and got their, recently, who went in, well, I say recently, before the lockdown, who went to Turkey to get surgery. And as much as I think she was silly for doing that, again, it's your body and it's not, I'm not going to ask any questions. Do your thing if that's what makes you happy. I don't agree with it because it's just, I'm like, there's no need.
Mm.
But what she was telling me is that, or what I was, because there was a group of them that went and I spoke to one of them and they said that when they went over there, on the plane over there, you see loads of women who are just there on their own, flying out to Turkey on their own. Not a family holiday, not a holiday with friends. It's them going on their own to a part of Turkey where it's not necessarily a holiday destination. So you know why they're going there. It's for surgery because it's a lot cheaper out there.
Right.
For Brazilian butt lifts, for fat transfers, where they remove fat from one part of your body, put it in another, so it makes your curves more accentuated. And it's not even hidden now.
No.
Like they'll go out there and cut. If you ask them, well, what are you doing out here? Well, I'm just going to get my lips done up again and I'm going to maybe get some of the fat removed. And it's not even a taboo. It's literally comfortable to discuss.
Yeah.
And that's the culture of a lot of this millennial to, I would say, Generation Z. It's a lot of the culture of them to believe that they need to look like a modified avatar as opposed to be happy with who they are. So yeah, it does. It's very common now.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me on Tinder.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I understand now when you're on stage, getting them big laughs is great, but what are you really saying? So if you can captivate, someone highlighted this about me recently, and I was so happy to hear this because it's something I've been aiming for. It's great to get loads of big laughs, but if you can grab the audience where you can captivate them and they're listening and they're laughing, but you've got them listening rather than waiting for that big pop at each given point, you've got a power on that audience more than you realize, because they came in for comedy, but if they're actually engaged fully whilst you're talking and not actually being funny at that time, it means that they are riding with you even when you haven't hit a punchline. So you can start to lean into things that you, or talk about things that you never really got a chance to at a club where they just want you to go, give me my money's worth real quick, because these guys are invested. So it's not so much about the pop, the frequency of pops. It's about a nice steady tone of humor, laughter throughout, and getting pops is great. Get as many of those as you can. But if you've got a joke which is funny, but they're riding with you throughout the joke and they're laughing with you without it being the whole applause and stand up, it means that they like you, they find you funny, and they're engaged. And that is a massive feat.
So is this like for your full shows, or is this because when you come to a club, will you have a different mindset going in, or will you try to get the club audience in tune with what you were just saying?
No, I know I've got a limited time with a club audience. Mm. So it's like a TV series. You watch a comedy movie, some of it, they're, it's not all comedy all the way through. There's bits of heart, there's bits of romance, maybe some action. But when it comes to a TV series like Friends or Big Bang Theory, whatever, they try to do laugh a minutes because they've only got 20 minutes, 25 minutes to get their episode through. So
that's a great analogy.
When I go to a club, I mean, thank you for that. And when it comes to a club, I'm going with bangers, the material that works. Some people go, oh yeah, but don't you want to try new things all the time? I don't think that's not the place to try new things, because if it doesn't work, you've used up a chunk of your minutes that you're supposed to hit these people that have paid just to be punched with loads of jokes and loads of pops that they're expecting. But when it comes to longer full shows where it's you delivering almost a theatrical performance, take them on a journey rather than just hit them with bangs all the time. They want to see who you are.
Yeah.
They want to understand what your beliefs are, what your understanding is. And that's, so I write differently for those two things. There are some jokes I know which are great for clubs because it's a quick joke. It's funny. It's great. It might have some meaning behind it, but you know what? It's a great joke that I can put into a club, and it might work if I do it into a live performance of me doing a one-man show. However, if I can do that on a one-man show, let me see if there's more in there I can go in with. That's kind of how I write them.
Nice. So what was the bit you was trying to find?
Yes. So about a trip to America. this was...
So is stuff generally true with your stuff? Do you embellish like true stories, or do you try to keep it real?
I take real scenarios. 90% of the scenarios are ones that I've gone through, real scenarios, and I'll talk about them, but I will obviously embellish elements so it's more humorous for stage.
Yeah.
Like a joke, if I joke about an argument between, let's say, me and one of my family members, that it's not going to have a punchline where everyone's laughing.
Yeah.
However, I'm going to make what that argument may have been and make it into something more humorous and funny. But the genesis of the joke generally is either an experience that I've gone through, or there are times where I'm having conversations with my friends and it's an experience they've gone through, and I go, can I work on that? Because there's something funny in there. They're like, yo, take it, make it into a story. Do you see what I mean?
Nice.
So majority of the time it's me, but then there are some times where actually it's experience that happened with one of my friends. This one is an experience that happened with me, but not as deep as this. I kind of embellished elements of it towards the end.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even remember how I started this.
So this is quite a new bit, is it?
I've got the notes here.
Oh, wow. That's long.
It was newest, yeah. This was March
okay.
that I wrote this one. And then obviously lockdown happened, so it's a newer one that I have tried to try. Mm. Yeah. It's basically, I'm not going to say the name of what the joke is because I don't want to offend anybody, but I title them in ways that I remember. But basically it was, I go, every culture is 99.9% decent, but is always 0.1% that ruin the image for everyone of different cultures, races. You get, there's negative connotations that people have of black, white, Asian, Christian, Muslim, Jewish, whoever, whatever background that you're from. And all it takes is one idiot to ruin that image for the whole of your culture, if somebody's ignorant rather than paying attention to the fact that it's just one idiot. And I met that one idiot that had tainted my view of Americans. It was one American at a reception of a hotel that I went to go and stay in the one conversation ruined it for everybody. And so I go and checked in. I said, hi, how you doing? At the check-in, I said what my name was. Hi, my name's Ori Styling. He goes, oh, it's great to meet you, sir. How was your journey here? I said, oh, it was good, thank you. I'm a bit jet-lagged. I'll be okay. Then he said, jet-lagged? Oh, where did you fly from? And then I said, I'm from London. He goes, oh, wow, I wouldn't have known. I mean, your English is so good. And I stop and think, huh? Okay. He then said, is it okay to call you Mr. Styler, right? I mean, or are you not married? Again.
No sense.
Mr. Styler, it wouldn't make any, anyway, never mind. All I could think was, what prefix does he think you use for a man if he isn't married? Anyway, I said, bro, just call me Ori, that'll be fine. He then went, well, Mr. Ori, I'm afraid your room isn't ready right now, but if you can wait in the lobby, I will let you know once it's available. So I went to the sofa a bit where the lobby is. There was a nice sofa, I chilled on there. Within 5 minutes, the receptionist comes over to me and I thought it was time to let me know that the room is ready. But instead, he proceeded to ask me more stupid questions. He then goes, so what's the weather like in London right now? Because Google says it's raining. I said, does he not realize that I'm not in London? I'm actually in his face. So I don't know why you're asking me that question. How am I supposed
and
to
Google's
know that?
In London,
and how am I supposed to
so
exactly? And how am I supposed to give a better answer than Google? Anyway, even when I'm in London, I check Google for the weather. It makes no sense why you're asking me. He went, bro, the weather isn't as nice as here. That's all I know. That's all I can really say. He went in and asked a lot about Americans and, you know, hold on, I'll try to read this. I'm right. This is all in note form.
I'm engaged, mate. The way you set it up, I am engaged. Like, you set it up great.
I appreciate that. I'm listening to myself like, Ori, you're not engaged. But okay. He then went in and asked the question that a lot of Americans would have asked maybe 20 years ago. Hey, so I just want to know. I mean, you're obviously from London, and is there a lot of black guys in London? And I said, yeah, there's a decent amount. Yes. He goes, oh no way. How long has it been like that? I said, well, if I remember from my history, I'm going to say probably roughly as long as they've been here as well. He said, oh, I was never good at history. Geography was more my thing. I said, no, I don't think it was, if I'm brutally honest. And that was the end of it there. Now, I got to work on that a bit more.
That feels like you've got so much more you can go into there. It's a real good topic.
Definitely. Definitely. The history bit, it's more, one thing I know is my facial expressions kind of sell the bits where I go, think about it for a second.
Yeah, and then you're...
So the hit, yeah, like if I just read that and I said, well, if I remember my history, I'm going to say roughly as long as they've been here, but I give them a certain face.
But it's they nice might go, because you're history, making history the audience do a little bit of work as well, which again, laugh wise, ups it because they're more satisfied with themselves.
Or you get those delayed laughs where some people, like, they're like, why, what happened to the history? And you could see them, and then you carry on with the joke, and then you go, slavery, and then you carry on back with the joke again, and then it triggers that person for them being so ignorant. It triggers them to go, oh, and then the crowd goes,
it's that's nice to have a little plan B there if you have to.
Exactly. And even the geography bit where it says, history was never my thing, history I was never good at school, geography was more my thing, goes back again to the fact that you didn't know that London and English accents and stuff. And it's just little elements like that I've been trying to work on in that particular joke.
Yeah, that's
again,
really
it wasn't
nice.
Polished.
So if that didn't quite hit well enough to geography, you could even go back and try and work out something that he could say that makes it more obvious that he doesn't know where England is. For example, I don't know, he could say something that, isn't that near somewhere? Or something.
Exactly.
Like if you had to, because my inkling is you probably wouldn't need to do that. But if you did need to spell it out more,
have another bullet in the gun just to fire in case that I need to if I need to trigger it a bit more with them. Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, I think I tried that joke twice. Mm. Once at Box Park and once at a friend's open mic gig that I asked if I can come down and try material. Mm. And I just need, like, I write these notes down, I go on stage, I try it out, see what works. Normally it's when I'm hosting, I try it out, see what works, and then come off stage, just add to the notes, take bits from there, add bits here. That's kind of the process, but that's one that I haven't been able to master yet. But it's not for a want of it being a failing joke.
It's just you haven't had time
yet. It's just more
the time. Yeah. Because it feels like also as a topic, you could go into other examples of different people that have ruined that culture or that country or that for everybody. It feels like it's a nice healthy amount of material you can dig into there.
Ooh, I've actually got one. I've never tried this on stage because I can't remember it all. Oh, you'll be the first person to hear this on the platform, which is very open.
What's the topic headline?
I'm trying to find it now. Okay. So I spend a lot of time between here and Dubai because I do a few events out there as well.
Yeah.
And I have a love for Dubai that people who have never been but hear the stories about it don't have. Because they go by what they're told. Mm. Everywhere in the world has definitely got its dark sides, and I'm not going to pretend Dubai is wholeheartedly innocent, because everywhere's got its things going on.
Yeah.
But you can't go there and badmouth a place you've not been based on the ideas of what the media sells to you without recognizing that the media also has its own agendas to make other countries seem lower than or less civilized than here or wherever the media is portraying that image. So I've been out there, loved the place, got many friends out there, got family members that are out there living there now. And I did a joke, which was regarding the laws in Dubai that are out there and how the British Empire view them. It's a long one, but I love the fact that I went in with this one. I can't remember all of it because there's so many little avenues that I have to be able to remember and make sure I deliver to get this. So I'll read it to you so far. It's called, I've been to Dubai. I love it there, but many people are told the law out there is strict. It's not strict. It's necessary especially against people like us, British. British people are the worst when we go to other countries. We are gratuitously known for entering foreign lands and messing shit up. In fact, we're so good, we made an empire out of it. You see what I mean? We were assholes to nice people in different countries. They welcomed us and we robbed what we could. India, we popped in for a chat and left with their national dish. Curry isn't a national English dish. It wasn't made here. But we even have a song around it. We had the nerve to make a patriotic football anthem and call it Vindaloo. That's a curry. Ours would have been shit though if the song was called Chips, Cheese and Gravy. Do you see what I mean? I mean, even with football, it's coming home. We didn't invent football. We modified an idea the Chinese had, which means it's never going home. The chance of China winning the World Cup is about the same as one of us bumping into the national animal of England, a lion, because they come from Africa. We even made another song, Three Lions. Find me three lions in the field right now. For our football song to be accurate, it should be three foxes in my trash screeching whilst they're sexing. That would be more accurate. I actually sing that bit as well. Have you been to the National History Museum lately? There is nothing national about it. International, maybe. We historically Ocean'd 11 the shit out of the world and then put it on display. That's like me stealing your watch and continuously shouting, oh, would you look at the time? And it's not just stealing. Oh, no, no, no. We love to let people experience our British values. Drinking, partying, more drinking, harder partying. The rest of Europe hates us because of this. We literally ruin reputations. Did you know one of the oldest monasteries in the world with such beautiful history is in the heart of Ayanapa? No, because to us, it's the building Steve took a shit behind 2 hours after he got a penis tattoo on his solar plexus. Did you know that Dalt Villa was classed as a World Heritage Site for being centuries old and putting Ibiza on the map? No, because to us, it's where Kathy walked barefoot down the street with vomit across her face, screaming, with a little bit of luck, we can make it through the night. Magaluf, Kos, Amsterdam, all the places overrun by tourists, all the places we took, we tried to book at quiet times to try our best to avoid more British people. What does that tell you about how we feel about ourselves? So I understand why Dubai has its laws so strict. They tell you as soon as you walk in, hey, pussy, don't mess around, you know, because the last thing they want is Dave coming in with his bullshit, trying to steal the Burj Khalifa, placing it on the top of Big Ben, and draw testicles on the bottom of it. Yeah, that's what I said.
That's a great bit.
It's a great bit if I can remember all of it.
So you haven't done that bit?
Never done it on stage.
I find that fascinating that you have been able to go that detailed. And that, I mean, it's difficult without an audience, but that, to me, that feels like all the beats are in the right place, all the examples are spot on. That's great, man.
There are two things I have to.
That feels like a bit that will get a round of applause at the end if you really get the rhythm right.
This is it, and working that rhythm is going to take me a minute. So I will do it. I think for me, at the time where I wrote it, I wasn't mentally in the place to go, let me remember that whole bit whilst also trying to remember doing another show. Because I wrote that, to be fair, I wrote that at the end of last year, knowing that this year I had my show in March. Mm. I wasn't going to do that in my show.
I was going to
that's a long bit, a new bit that I know is going to take a minute to work because it's a long bit that I have to find the beats and the rhythms. And also the second thing, which took me, I'm not going to say I don't have it. I'm more than comfortable with it. You have to have a certain goal and arrogance to a degree to be able to go on stage and say that in front of people that may look at you and get offended because in their eyes, who are you to talk about Britain?
Oh, right. I mean? Even that. I just thought you meant doing it in front of British people.
Even just British people. Look, did you see the Conservatives on the Conservatives Instagram page, they put up a picture saying Happy Father's Day, and it's of a black man and a mixed race kid. And the comments are outlandish.
Oh, no.
The comments, people saying, that's it, I'm leaving, I'm joining EDL. Someone said on there as well. Yeah, what? It was crazy. Someone said on there in the comments, why would you use this image when 80% of black people don't know their dads? I was like, wow, this is what we're going to look at this image about.
So are you seeing that and are you thinking you're going to do something with that? Are you going to try and use that as a topic, as a example to sort of get across our...
The Conservatives page thing? No. Do you mean the Conservatives page that I just said to you?
Conservatives page? I thought you said...
The Conservative Instagram page. Yeah.
Oh,
I missed the
Conservatives bit. Right, okay.
That was on the Conservatives page on Instagram. Yeah. And what I'm saying is, in a crowd where you go to, you perform in front of an audience, just because they see you you're talking about a British empire, that there is a pride that they have that will not listen to you because you're about to say something they don't want to hear. You have to have an arrogance and a confidence to go on stage in front of them to say, you see your empire, which I'm not going to put down and say is wholeheartedly bad. What I will say is, like everything, like I've said about even Dubai, which I love, everything has its positives and its negatives. Mm. Some people will hear me say that joke and go, firstly, how dare you talk about us that way? Yeah. You should be happy to be here. And you do get people that are like that, that are in their heart of hearts believe that they're like that. It's a sad thing, but you have to have a confidence to perform that kind of joke in front of a crowd and them want to ride with you and go, even if I don't agree, I could see why this is funny.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I've kind of delayed, because I want to make sure the beats are correct, as well as me delivering it for them to go, I get you.
And you've also got to put that out in front of a lot of different audiences, so you can
exactly
gauge your reaction of the different sorts of people. Crikey,
exactly.
It's a good bit, man. It's a good bit.
Thank you.
I think we've done the time there, mate. That's good as gold. That's really good.
Well, wait, hold on. You're just asking me questions. What, have you not got a bit you could show me?
Oh, bloody hell, you put it on me.
Yeah, come on.
I do this a lot, though.
A podcast.
What have I got? I have a look at my...
See, a podcast is a conversation. Okay. It's not an interview. Okay, so I could ask you about your stuff as well.
One line a bit. All I've got here is the phrase, you know, when you meet someone, they say, are you such and such? You go, in the flesh. So there's something in that for a one-liner, I think, of in the flesh. Yeah. And then, so my thoughts were then, what is physically in the flesh? So like some kind of sort of flesh-eating disease. So then I looked up a flesh-eating disease and like, could be like, are you the guy with that flesh-eating disease? And I'll be like, you wouldn't say flesh, you'd say the name of the disease. And you go, in the flesh? Which feels a bit horrible. Doesn't feel very nice. And then I was thinking, well, you know, Lady Gaga did the meat dress. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
So that would be, are you the girl in the meat dress in the flesh? So technically she's in the flesh, but then I think that's such an old reference now. I don't think that
it can still it depends.
So I don't know.
It can go on.
So I just don't know which route to take, whether you go physically actually something that is actually in the flesh, whether I need to look at, so you could say muscles, because muscles are technically in the flesh, but then muscles are the flesh, are they? I looked it up and it said muscles, sorry, flesh is a mixture of muscles and fat. Mm. So I don't think the muscle is in the flesh. It is the, so this is how stupid, how detailed I look into it, because it can make such a difference.
Not everybody in that crowd is going to be a biologist. You'll be absolutely fine. You could just say, God, I know you're not, but listen, when you say that joke, as far as I'm concerned, you're incorrect, because actually muscle itself, no one's going to do that. Honestly, you don't have to be so critical of yourself that way. Come on, man.
So I don't know how you do that then. Would you be, are you the guy that's got the big muscles in the flesh? Does that make sense? Like, there's something in this. It's one of those. The same as your last bit. It hasn't quite got the same message as your last bit.
It doesn't have to. Listen, I tried to write one-liners. I'm not the best.
Oh, have you?
I'm not the best. Yeah, I try. I got one here.
Have you?
He goes, I was listening to the radio and a presenter was talking about the signs of Alzheimer's disease and how you know if you have it. And, I can't remember the rest. What I do remember is I was listening to the radio and the presenter was talking about Alzheimer's disease and how you know if you have it. And I stop and the crowd are like, oh, and I go, that was a bad joke. Look, I know, I'm sorry. Look, just try to forget it.
I just want you to keep doing the loop.
Just saying it until,
So you go, what it is, it's something about Alzheimer's disease. I can't remember the rest. But what I do know is they were saying something about Alzheimer's disease, but I can't remember the rest.
And I do it, and it's at the end when they all go, oh, Ori, I go, look, all right, I know it's a bad look. Just try to forget it, yeah? And then leave it at that bit.
And then do it
which
again.
Which kind of rounds it off. Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. That's the one line. I mean, I
so you wrote that. So what, would you use that? Like, is that something that, or would you put that in
as a
set,
filler?
Your club set more than a. Anything else?
A club set, definitely. As more of a filler. Mm. Like if I wanted to, there are some times I go on stage and I say, I'm going to do a set of the corniest, cheesiest jokes because I want to practice on my facial reactions, because I know you tell a corny joke and afterwards if you go like that or something of that nature, people can really appreciate that you're doing that. It's very Milton Jones-esque where he says a joke and the fact that his face is so straight or he does something silly afterwards.
Yeah.
I like to be able to practice on my facial expressions by doing a set full of corny jokes and seeing how the crowd respond to it.
That sounds like a good way you can get into it by telling them that's what you're going to do, because otherwise it would feel weird with you suddenly just dropping into that.
So Dion Cole is fantastic at this. When he'll do a set where he goes, I've got some new jokes. Mm. He'll do it in his Netflix special.
Yeah,
I've got some new jokes I want to try. So just you guys are gonna bear with me, aren't you? Is that all right? Can I try some stuff? Mm. And he'll get a pen, and he'll go, all right. He'll say something like, "Have you ever wondered of how people fold towels with no chin?" And he'll just look around and people start laughing. He'll go, and then just tick it off like that off. But it looks great when he does it. it makes the jokes that are cheesy work because of his delivery, as opposed to the joke itself being hilarious.
He's also taking the pressure off the joke by saying they're new bits. He would have done that joke loads, but it just...
Exactly.
I mean, I've done that before in the show. It's just like a device, isn't it? It's a device to try and get this material like in there that doesn't really suit maybe what you normally do.
The style, exactly that, exactly.
And it breaks up the show nicely. So the old 40-minute lull, if you stick something like that in, something that's visual, it's great stuff.
This is it. This is it. And I'm glad to see you know that, and I'm glad you can see that. Some people think it's a bit of a, I wouldn't say a cop-out, it's being able to utilize different styles within your comedy and go, I'm going to do this because it works for the crowd.
Yeah.
And if you're aware of that, it works really, really well. And that's stuff like that, I think, is really great to do, as long as you know and you're aware of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you're just working. Yeah. You want to do this thing. You got to work out how you can get that across for the best, you know, for the best reaction from the audience. Great stuff. Cool, man. That's good as gold. Thanks so much, mate. This has been fun.
No, thank you. Really thank good. You for having me on the podcast, man. Thank you very much.
No worries, dudes. Nice having a catch up. It's great doing this, like during lockdown. It's just means I can socialize a little bit. It's good. It's like just being in a green room. Ori Styler! Woo! Hashtag awooga to Ori Styler. That rhymes.
It's good stuff.
So, good stuff. Good solid episode that, Joel.
Really good fun. Enjoyed really that. Good. He
if you enjoyed it.
Great.
Oh, what is it? Oh, he is great. Oh, you did that thing you did used to do where you go, he is great.
Oh, and it doesn't sound convincing.
No, it doesn't.
But he is great. Oh,
but I know you now, Joel. I know you enough now that you weren't being sarcastic.
No. I'm never really... He is great. I'm not really a mean-spirited guy.
Not at all.
So...
there he is. If you enjoyed the episode, let us know. At Jokes with Mark across all social media. Any feedback about the jokes discussed? If you'd like to leave us a 5-star review, someone left us one, Joel.
That's very nice.
Someone left us a recent one. That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, what did they say?
Oh, God, Joel. Phil.
So Phil. Mark's looking up the iTunes review podcast Jokes with Mark Simmons. And I've already found it. It's from Mark Granger. It says, brilliant.
Is that it?
I can't get enough of people talking about jokes and how they work. If you are interested in how jokes work, you can't go wrong with this codcast. Hashtag awooga. Mark, you know all the inside jokes. It's like its own language. Yeah.
Of course I do. It's my podcast.
Oh, lovely. Lovely stuff.
Good work. We're like a bloody great double act.
Aren't we?
So wicked. Oh, we've got a new episode of On Demand coming very shortly onto the Patreon, exclusive to Patreon, at patreon.com/jokeswithmark. You want to support the podcast, go over there and you can sign up and do that.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah. Anything more from you, Joel?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Joel. Hashtag awooga, everybody.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.